You turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Today's title is No Longer Heathen. No Longer Heathen. That's it with a capital H-E-A-T-H-E-N. You got something in your teeth. Father, we just come before you, Lord God, and we just ask that you open up the eyes of our spirit to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Father, we just thank you for the goodness of your word. We thank you that you have not left us or forsaken us, God, but you ever lead us. Lord, help us to be obedient to your word and your high calling in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 4, we're going to go through 14 through 19 today. And this is really a rendition of who we were. Then we shall no longer be infants tossed to and fro by the waves or blown here or there by every wind of teaching, by the cunningness and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheme. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this and insist on it that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ this way. Surely you have heard of him and were taught in him in accordance to truth that is in Jesus Christ. You were taught with regard to your former ways of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitudes of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and in holiness. Paul here is exhorting the church at Ephesus, and seems like the theme of today is what we have been doing in the past that is not honoring God needs to stop. The heathen do these things. We don't. We don't compromise who we are in Jesus Christ. We learn how to walk in the Spirit, and we learn how to stay in the light. We learn how to feed on the Word of God and become transformed. And that transformation comes from the practical application of the Word of God. It does not come from osmosis. What God says, He expects us to be doing. No more, no less. It's really that simple. And God, in all His wisdom, gives fivefold ministry gifts to men, warriors, who are there to help equip the church. Now, I've heard a lot of teaching about equipping the church, but few know what the word equip really means. Equip simply means to make right or to bring to completion through training, testing, and restoration through the building up of the church by faith, love, and the utilization of our spiritual gifts. That's what our job is as far as gift ministries to you. It's what the pastor, the prophet, the apostle, the teacher, and the evangelist does. Those gifts and talents that are within you, we're exhorting you to set them in motion. Why? Because in setting those things in motion, you are flowing or being trained or making right your lives. And not to do those things is only retarding your lives. You see, to equip carries the idea of something broken, like a broken arm. And to equip it is to put something around it to reset the bone so that it is made right and stronger when it does heal. All of us have been broken. All of us have been broken by the effects of sin in our lives. But not all of us are truly equipped or want to be equipped so that we can function as a unit in the Lord Jesus Christ, called the church. This is why it's real important that we learn what our jobs are within the church so we can do the ministry. We can help each other get set right so we can fix the broken areas of our lives and move forward in Jesus Christ. And I look at you guys and I see where God has brought all this brokenness when you came to Streams, and how God has been working in your lives to heal you, to direct you, to take areas of compromise out of your life, to bring you to a place where you are much stronger than what you were when you first came. And that's a praise unto God. But it's also a praise unto you, because you have to understand that where you were before to where you are now, you didn't realize the change because you're in the midst of it. And that's because the Spirit of God is stirring your heart to continue to go on and move on. And now you've come to a place where serving. And I remember a year ago with Jen, you know, she was deathly afraid of Main Street, but she was there. She was a trooper. Man, she was a trooper that was shaking in her armor. And this year it's like, come on, let's do this thing. Can you see how God has strengthened you in an area that seems so frightful, but yet now you're a veteran. You're an old hat to this. And that doesn't stop you. Work in ministry is helping others recover what they have lost, what was stolen from them. We're not to go and help take back those things and give it to you. It is to help you go and take those things that were stolen from you. That's what ministry is. And the works of the ministry you guys are doing, you're encouraging one another, you're exhorting one another, you're doing these things. Why? Because the love of Jesus Christ that's in you cannot stand watching people suffer at the hands of the devil. Do you know that he's been defeated? Then why do you live less than what victory has pronounced on you? Why do you live less than what victory has pronounced on you? I can't answer that. I'm too busy living in victory. See, my God overcame everything. Death, the world, Satan, and sin. And now I sit in heavenly places with him, and I can hear things that is not lawful for just plain men to hear. Only supernatural men hear these things. And when we're set right in these things, the church begins to grow. It grows spiritually and then it grows numerically. When it grows numerically, it's the responsibility of the church to come together to make disciples. Isn't that one of the things that Jesus called the church to do? To go and make disciples, according to Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of the nations. And then he told us in Luke, these signs shall follow them that believe. Speak in other tongues. Raise the dead. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Are you equipped to do that? You will be. You will be. Because you see, we've been in the little skirmishes. And the leadership has been doing the battle. Now it's time for the army to arise. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to arise and destroy and pull down the works of the enemy. And this requires great courage, great vision, great understanding as to what God is saying, that now the kingdoms of this world has now become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. It's saying that the church of Jesus Christ is going to be involved in subjecting all these kingdoms and kings that do not want to submit to Jesus Christ will submit to Jesus Christ. Because at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord of all. Amen? He is Lord of all, and He is our Lord. So for us to walk in the light, Paul exhorts us to no longer walk as the Gentiles do. This is the beginning stage of walk section. All else was just a preliminary. We saw what doctrine is. The doctrine is given to us so that we can understand our foundations in Jesus Christ. It also shows us what our moral value systems, our ethics, how we operate, our beliefs. Our belief system is a world biblical vision set by God, not by ourselves and our philosophies. Fivefold is given to help train us and keep us accountable. We don't tell Fivefold what it does. Fivefold tells us. And that's called a chain of command. Jesus is the head. Fivefold helps govern, helps edify, helps do the things. That does not exonerate us from working in ministry too. But it is a lot of time and a lot of effort that is put into people's lives to watch them grow in Jesus Christ. We're no longer babes. What is a baby? A baby doesn't know any better. It just works and operates through instinct. Right? When it's hungry, it cries. When it's messy, it cries. When it is discomforted, it cries. And when it's screaming and crying, when it's crying, we get mom. Right? Well, at least I did. But there are things that are expected of babies that as they begin to grow, age-wise, physically, we begin to start teaching them how to walk, how to stand, crawl, that kind of stuff. We teach them how to use a spoon, tie their shoes, put their clothes on. My kids learn how to take them off. I don't know about anybody else, but we were chasing around. Put your clothes on, put your clothes on. And today, spiritually, I'm doing the same thing. Put the armor on, put the armor on, put the new man on, put the new man on. You are not Gentiles any longer. You are sons and daughters of the King. And how you think will dictate how you live. Sit means we just sit there and we're not doing anything. Walking is now the practical elements of living kingdom life before a heathen nations or heathen worlds or heathens, period. It's how we respond to the heathen, not how react to them. And training allows us to do that. The Holy Spirit trains us. We gain understanding through these gifted men and women that come into our lives. But for us, we're no longer babes anymore. If you've been here at Streams for any period of time, you have to learn that you know, it is your responsibility to start growing up. It's start applying the basics into your life. And if you're still trying to put the basics in there, I'm wondering why you don't live by faith. You're trying to do things that God says you live by faith in. It's because you haven't understood the rudiments yet. You have to go back and understand the rudiments before you can move on. And in this day and age where we have this type of education system that it doesn't matter, we just push these people through. Well, we're doing them such a disservice that, you know, I call it dumbing down America. At once we had the highest education in the world. Now I wonder what higher education is all about. It's filled up with vain philosophies of men that deny God and the existence that He even is. They have their own agenda to ensnare men and lead them into bondage without them even realizing that they're captured. See, the basics is the truth that sets us free. The basics help us understand that we're free because Christ set us free. That His truth has set us free. That His truth is what guides us and keeps us from from being swept over to false teachings, falling into passivity, falling into the futility of our thinking. We have to, if we have to think about what God has told us, instead of being obedient to what He has told us, we have a problem. I've told everyone that if we move out by faith, understanding will come. What we try to do is we try to understand before we go. That's not faith. I know God has many neat things for us, and we're moving by faith. I'm not asking Him for understanding. I'm just saying, yes, Lord, let's do this thing. You'll show me in good time why I need to know and what I need to know. How do the Gentiles walk? Well, they walk in the hardness of their hearts. Their minds are darkened and they don't have truth. They have a truth that's based on their philosophies and scientific facts. The scientific facts are just basically revealing God and what He has done. I mean, but the problem is much deeper with the heathen. You see, they're incapable of understanding how who they are and what their purpose in life is. They're always, if you talk to someone who doesn't believe in God, you ask, well, what's your purpose in life? Oh, I don't know. You should know. You should know why you're here. I know why I'm here. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear about that. Yeah, he was just a man. He wasn't God. Well, according to the scriptures, He is, and I believe that because I've met Him. And oh, you're one of those, huh? One of what? My Jesus is alive forevermore. He rose from the dead. He's the only one that rose from the dead without assistance. See, there's a difference. There was those who rose from the dead, but they had assistance. Jesus rose from the dead without any assistance because He's God. The elitists of the world have this truth, and this truth that they have is to capture men's mind, to keep them ignorant of the facts of Jesus Christ. Let me read to you what Romans 1 says. Romans 1, 18 through 25 says, "The wrath of God is now being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And since they may be known about God to be plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that man is without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their hearts foolish, becoming darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." See, men of the world are devoid of true wisdom. They think they're smart, but they're not. They profess to be wise, but they're blindly ignorant to the darkness that they are walking in. They don't realize, I was one of them. You were one of them. I think we're a lot smarter now when we see the truth and the light of God. Psalms 14:1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, and there's no one who does good." Romans says, you know, all have fallen short of the mark. All have sinned. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." There are people in the body of Jesus Christ that acknowledge God, but have nothing to show for it in their lives. Why? Because they despise wisdom and are undisciplined. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to surrender my will for His. That's the key. That's what repentance is all about. But the Gentiles can't comprehend their predicament that they're in. They don't have an understanding. They're dead to the truth. They're blinded to the light. And because they're blinded to the light of Jesus Christ, they will not come to the light because they love their evil deeds. The ungodly live in confusion. Their minds are darkened. And they live in darkness because of their sensual appetites. Their pride, false teachings, and empty philosophies, immoral behavior, have hardened their hearts. Harden their hearts towards God. Harden their hearts to those whom they're supposed to love. You know I love you, baby. You know I love you. They're devoid of right and wrong. Their understanding of right and wrong is what's right for me and wrong for you. Think about that. That is true. That's what the heathen are all about. They live for themselves without thinking of how degenerative their condition is, because their hearts are constantly filled with wickedness. You read the Bible? You're one of them. Yeah, I am. And I live what the Word of God says. You need a crutch. No, I got a cross. What do you mean by that? Yeah, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Everything we have is to be used to enlighten mind. If we don't enlighten the minds of those who are dark, they will never come to the truth. They will never be able to. We should not be afraid of false religions and those who conduct themselves in false philosophies and vain discussions. We need to set them straight. But we need to set them straight in love. What's the believer's walk look like? Paul exhorts us to no longer live less than what Christ has created us for. We have been made alive to Christ, born again by His Spirit. We have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in us. All power of heaven now dwells in us. Do you believe that? Then why are you living less than what the kingdom says? Why? Well, you see, Pastor, it's my circumstances. He's Lord of all. He's Lord of your circumstances. Well, you don't understand. My kids are sick. He defeated all the works of the devil. Sickness and death have no more dominion. You have dominion over them. You don't know who you are in Jesus Christ. You don't know what power you have or authority you have. So you don't wage war. You let circumstances come upon you. You are not a child of God if you live your life less than what God has created you to be. You have power and authority over all the works of the devil. Jesus defeated him. And that's what he's coming back. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. He's not coming back for a little girl in a tutu. He is not. And his bride is powerful. She's glorious. She is virtuous. She has anointed herself in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and is saying, come on. Where's my man? Come on. Let's go party, Jesus. Because he's coming back. But we live our lives less than what he has created us for, because we haven't really believed what he said is true. And I'm telling you, it's true. I've sat with him. He's told me. It's true. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. He has set us free from the power of sin and the fear of death. He has defeated every lust of the flesh because it was nailed on the cross. He has defeated every sickness, every disease. He has broken the curse over us. By the stripes, we are healed. That word is past tense. We are made whole. Do you realize that when Israel left Egypt, there was none sick, none infirm, none maimed? They came out as the richest nation in transition. They took the wealth of a nation with them. And we are too. Because my daddy owns this. He owns it. He says, I can have it and I can use it. And I'm going to use it for his glory. Because I know who I am in Jesus Christ. Truth is hard if it isn't softened with love. And love becomes soft if it isn't strengthened by truth. Truth is hard if it isn't softened with love. And love is soft if it isn't strengthened by truth. That's deep. I love you, Nolan. But you need deliverance from that cowboy stuff. You know, you got to get on the Lord's team, not America's team. I said it in love. Here's truth without love. You heathen. Why do you advertise such garbage? They don't have a quarterback. They got an owner that's a heathen. You know, and he thinks he's a great guy. And you will spend your money making him richer. Ken, let's talk about the Eagles. I got as much as I want. I know the authority I have. Can you see the difference? Speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth, or just love. The simple thing is that it takes great courage. And the thing that people don't understand is to speak truth in love takes great fear and trepidation to either be the one expressing truth in love or the one to receive truth in love. It does. And the heathen don't listen for that. They don't care about, you know, you see, they think they're so high and mighty. They think they're this. They think they're that. You're going to hell. And without Jesus Christ, you're going to be spending all eternity there. And he made a provision for you not to spend that time. He loves you so much. These are the terms of surrender. You're at warfare with God, and these are the terms. Turn away from sin and follow God. It's that simple. Give up your wickedness and allow God to direct your life. It's not convenient. It's not easy. But truth has to be expressed. And it has to be done with the heart of God in mind. We may be struggling in our lives. We may be blaming the devil for things that are going on in our lives. The fact of the matter is, we give him too much blame and we give him too much credit. He's defeated. The heathen don't recognize that he's defeated, and that's why they're still ensnared in their sin, in their situations. How many of us know people who don't know God that are living high off the hog and their lives are falling apart, but they don't recognize it? All of us know at least somebody. We don't want to face the reality of what is destined for us. For me, I know it's scary to think about dying. But to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. This carcass is going to go away. But my spirit man is going to have a new glorified body, and so is yours. And God doesn't want you to be afraid of death. It's been defeated. He's given you all the power over the enemy. What needs to be done is you need to become disciplined and understand the difference between the devil, your sinful fleshly desires, and holiness. You don't know what's going on in your life because you have not learned those rudiment elements or have not paid attention. Jesus said, crucify the flesh. Paul says, crucify the flesh. James says, crucify the flesh. John says, crucify the flesh. Peter says, crucify the flesh. Do you think there's a message in that? And these were all great men of God that died for the cause of the kingdom. They sacrificed. They didn't have anything, but they passed on a faith and an inheritance to us, the Last Day Church. We are going to see the Lord come. We are going to see the Lord come. He's going to split the eastern sky. He's going to roll it back, and He's coming. And those who have died before us are coming back with Him. And He's going to judge the nations, and He's going to say to His bride, "What do you think? Sheep and the goats are going to be split. You're going to judge angels and then the nations. You think you got power and authority? That's the power of life and death, which only God has. And He's going to bestow that upon us." That is an awesome thing to think about, but yet I shake in my bones at thinking about what's going to be executed there. People eternally separated from God. And we have just a little bit of discomfort in our lives. Woo! The devil made my kids sick! Oh my God! My car broke down! Oh God! 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 I had this money that I was going to spend for the movies, but I spent it over here for this! Can you help me out? Can you do this? Yeah. Get disciplined. That's how I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you become disciplined. I'm going to help you and teach you to make your life right, straight, so that you can flow into things. And then I expect you to do the same thing with the next ones. That's called discipleship. That's what happens here. I pour into some, those some pour into others, and those others keep pouring into people. It is your responsibility and mine to fight the good fight of faith. Not to sit back and complain and puff our chest up how great we're doing. Guess what? You're puffing your chest up and Satan is about ready to knock your legs out from underneath you. We should walk humbly before our God and before each other. And that's what I try to do every day. It's what I try to teach my kids. It's what I try to teach you guys. Don't puff yourself up. Don't brag about what's going on. If you're going to brag, brag on Him. But guess what? Because nobody's big enough to knock Him off His throne. Satan tried. We have to learn to walk in the light as He's in the light. We have to listen to Him. We have to do the things that He says so that the people can understand that there is a difference. John 13:35 says what? There's a condition. They will know that you are my disciples, not my disciples, His, by the love we have one for another. A disciple is a disciplined one. And wherever you're not disciplined in, you need to repent, not to me, but to Him. And then allow the Holy Spirit to teach you to become disciplined. And that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. In order to get rid of something, it takes an average of 20 to 21 days to incorporate a better disciplined habit. It's consistent. It's not, oh, I missed today, so I give up. You have to see that the Word of God is your life. And that the victory has already been won. We just need to learn how to appropriate it. Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your people, God. I exhort them, God, as best as I can, Father. But God, I know that You're moving us. You're taking us to a higher place, God. You're causing our feet, God, to be shod in such a way that we have hinds feet, God, that we're able to climb up. God, You have been preparing us from the beginning, God. And I still say, give us those that nobody else wants, God. And we will turn them into weapons for Your glory. And then release them when You want them released. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pronounce that this day is the end of us living for ourselves and living for You. God, forgive us, Lord, of being so self-willed, so stiff-necked, so rebellious, God, to the good things that you want to put into our lives. Help us to see, God, the vision of what you have cast out for streams. And help us to get caught up in doing that which you have called us, no more, no less. Just caught up in doing what you have called for each and every one of us, Lord. I ask that you bless the people of Streams, God. Continue to give them favor, Father. Continue to give them increase. Continue, God, to set their feet upon the rock of Jesus Christ. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.